Good morning. It's good to see you all today. Let's look in the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Please pray for us this morning. 32 and 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. What a time is this? Do you ever hear a story about that? Have you ever heard any other place in the Bible about a man wrestling an angel? I don't think there's very many times anyway, but here we find that there was a man that was troubled about who he was. He was going to face his brother the next day. He had already made the plans of softening his brother's heart. Why would he want to do that? Well, he was wrestling with the man that he was and what he used to be, and it's all coming to him now full circle. It's all coming to him. And tomorrow I've got to meet the man that I was. And you know, that's a hard thing to wrestle with sometimes. You know, meeting up with myself on the road, that can be pretty difficult sometimes, because you think of all your mistakes. You think of everything that I've done wrong. Everything that, you know, that's one thing about getting old, that I believe God gives us a little space of time as we get older and bring to our mind, bring to our memory when we slow down. Remember this? Remember what you did here? Remember, did you treat that person right? Did you take something from that person that wasn't there? Did you violate somebody's privacy, or did you violate somebody's life? You know, I've noticed in the jail different times how men have a lot of time on their hands, and they have a lot of things. They slow down, and they're not dealing drugs now, and they're not running around. They're confined in just a few hundred square feet, and if they're not real good, it's just maybe a few square feet they're confined to. And you know, when you get to looking at the walls for very long, a lot of things start coming to your mind. Thank God for our conscience. Thank God for the remembrance that the Lord puts something in our mind to remember who we used to be. And I've watched men that and talked to them as time went on. Weeks turned into months, turned into years. And they would, they began to think, all of us do. You know, all of us do. If we slow down for a minute, we can remember who we were. One of the problems of getting old is sometimes it's an undeniable reality to us. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I remember doing that. And let's go to the next page. And we try to flip over the next page, and that doesn't look much better either sometimes. And then we try to go on think of something else. And then sometimes people just plain old erase in their mind. I've always been a good person. I've always done good things. I've always maintained this. And I've done this and that. But you know, Jacob was left alone. And he wrestled. He wrestled a man until the breaking of day. And he wouldn't let him go. Why was he so troubled? One reason, he was alone. He'd already sent over his servants and hired hands. He sent over all the maid servants and everybody else, his Rebecca, Leah, all the children. He put them in groups. You know, I've thought about that different times, and you're sure welcome to read the rest of this story, but I don't know how Leah would feel if she was put ahead of Rachel And he thought, well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Jacob. You know, they're going to kill me before they do her. And that you planned all that out, you know. And but that's the way he did. And they had troubles back then. I tell you, there was a lot of troubles. But here they staged them. 40, you're going to keep 40 sheep here in this little flock and send some of maybe the less loved of his servants. You know, you guys be first. You know, be brave now. Be brave. You all go out there and you meet him. And if you meet him, you say, if he asks you, where'd all this come from? You say, well, this is a gift from thy servant, Jacob. And Jacob was troubled about everything. And as they got closer and he came to the next flock, what's this mean? He said, this is from my servant, Jacob. You know, why was he feeling this way? Why was Jacob? Because there was things on his mind. He was up wrestling with the person that he was. And I tell you, I don't know very many of us that haven't stepped back sometimes and just thought, you know, when you hear a gospel message or there's something, you have a little quiet time and you get settled down, you begin to soak in. There's something begins to soak into your mind. Hey, there's something here. You know, I heard this preached twice. I heard this brought out several times. And there was something that I heard that really touched me. And it's kind of bothering me now. And I don't really know what to do with it. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you'll do like Jacob and wrestle and stay there and don't give up. Don't quit till you... He said it was the breaking of day. That angel finally said, just let me go. He said, well, what's your name? He said, why are you asking me my name? And he just reached down and touched him on the thigh. And he disabled him. And God's very powerful. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God has got an ability to change us. He even told Jacob, he said, now I'm going to change your name. You're not going to have that same name. You're going to be Israel from this time on. And you know, what a difference it makes when we have the Lord change us. Yes. And we're a different person than who we were. Yes. You know, I love to hear the reports. I tell you, I've heard people say that almost verbatim, James, you wouldn't believe the change that happened to these people. You wouldn't believe the change. I mean, they're doing things so much different. They have a spark in their life. There's something different. Isn't that wonderful to hear? Well, when we meet the Lord, when we wrestle with Him, and we've recognized, we've come full circle around to the person that we really are, not who we think we are. A man, sometimes the Bible said that, you know, you can think too highly of yourself. You can think that you're really something when you're nothing. And all of us have to probably struggle with that sometimes. But He has told us that if we will humble ourselves, that He will dwell with us. He will walk with us. And you know, that's what happened with Jacob here. As he began to see that he had taken things that was not his. He had stole from Esau. He stole his birthday. He come in hungry. He come in from the field. He was hungry. And young people, you probably said this before, and I have too. I'm starving to death. Well, guess who was there? And he said, listen, opportunist. Jacob was a opportunist. He worked on opportunities. He saw an opportunity. He said, hey, Esau here, if you'll just give me your birthright, here's some food, and I'm telling you it's the best, and just smell it. And he traded him out. He got his birthright. And he went on, and he stole his blessing from his dad. But my, the things that happened to Jacob, the 14 years, the confusion and all with Leah and Rachel and all the things that happened back then. Have you ever thought about what Isaac had told him. He blessed him and gave him all these things and was just told him how great and everything his posterity was going to be. But do you know, folks, when you look at it in reality, if you'll read about all the children of Esau, that it was Duke this and Duke that and Duke. There was all of these royalty that popped up in Esau. And I look at Jacob's posterity and I find that 400 years they spent in Egypt, they went through a whole lot. And here's all these children of Esau that were people in command. They were people in a high position. And here, Jacob's posterity, except for Joseph. Thank God for Joseph. But sometimes our blessings don't just come overnight, do they? And the thing that God prepares for us, sometimes it's not even noticed in our generation. It sometimes is a while before that comes to fruition. I thought of how that as Jacob wrestled there and he prevailed, the Lord was with him, the Lord blessed him, his name was changed, and he was able then to meet his brother in peace. You know, this morning I think about a peacemaker, and God wants us each and every one to be a peacemaker. I've wondered different times why problems can't be solved. I wondered, have you ever wondered, why can't things work out here? Why can't this be resolved? And I've been in some difficult ones sometimes, and there's some difficult things. You know, it's not like you did this and you should have done that. You know, making peace sometimes is a hard thing. We've got to be willing. And I even tried that. I brought him some wood and a load of wood and some pecans. I knew he loved them. He told one of his guys that worked for him, tell him I don't want none of that. And I loaded all the wood and everything back up. And it's just not worked. Being a peacemaker sometimes is a hard thing to do. But God is looking at our heart. I believe there's a scripture that says, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And you might be thinking, well, I tell you, I'm sitting pretty high today because I made the phone call. I wrote the letter. I did what I could to solve that problem. Now, and you won't find any fault in me. But he said, as much as lieth in you. What about the second letter? What about the second attempt? And what about the third? You might say, no, that'll just stir up trouble. I'm not doing it. But you know what? When you meet yourself, when you see what you are, it'll do something. When God really reveals ourselves to us and shows us who we are, we think, well, I wonder how many other people know that. Well, sometimes others know it before we do. God help us today. I'm not wanting to make you just feel guilty, but I'm just saying to us today, we have a high calling. And that high calling causes us to go a second mile. That high calling causes us sometimes to do things that normal people may not have to do. Because you have grace, and I have grace. You know, with Jacob, he knew the things that he had done wrong. He knew that. There was several things here, but he wanted to see his dad. He wanted to come back, and he wanted to visit home. And it had maybe been 20 years. He might have been thinking when he started off, 20 years, you'll forget about it. He'll forget all about that. One time when I was in junior high school, me and this boy got in a fight, and he was just always stirring up things, and several people just didn't like him. And anyway, I I kind of felt sorry for the boy, but then again, he just seemed like he'd stir up things, and we didn't get along too well. When I got saved, Richard came to my mind. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's digging up old... he won't even remember it. Jacob thought the same thing 20 years some later. Oh, Esau ain't going to remember that. Too much water under the bridge. Too many things gone. He met him with 400 men. He knew he was coming. 400 men armed, ready to take him on. 400. He hadn't forgot. Richard didn't forget. I said, Lord, it bothered me. And I said, Lord, if you bring somehow him back into my, where I can get a hold of him. I don't even know how to get a hold. I'll take care of that with him. I'll ask him to forgive me. Whatever I need to do. Don't ever say that. You don't mean it. This boy comes driving up to my driveway. And at my mom and dad's place, he came up to and got out of his car. And I said, Richard, how are you doing? How in the world are we going to get around this thing now? I've got to do something. And I was, you know, years had passed. And I said, Richard, do you remember that time? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I do, Bill. I said, well, I want you to forgive me for that. I'm trying to get my life straightened up, and I want you to forgive me for that thing. He said, oh, Bill, just forget it. You know, I felt lighter, but that was not the end. Fast forward about 20 years, and I see him working on a forklift at my brother's place. And I go and talk to him. I felt a little clear to go to him now. And I said, Richard, how are you doing? And he opened up and told me, back in his early years, his dad was an alcoholic and abused him terribly. And he had me, I tell you, I was about this high. If I was that high, I was a speck. I thought, oh my. You know, until we see who we are sometimes, God help us this morning. Self-righteousness among us will never fly. Don't ever think just because you've lived around the camp that you're exempt from ever have to do anything. There's little attitudes. There's things that God comes down and He checks us on. In all the time that I've been saved, I've had one young man, one person that's come back to me, and he had stole something. And I knew he had. And I knew his friend had stole something. It was $150, and I knew they'd done it. But one day I get a phone call, and he says, I want to make this thing right. I want to talk to you. And he said, I don't care what you do from here. He said, I just want to get this off my mind. Here's my $75 that I got out of it. And here's the $75 that the person never to this day has come back and corrected that. And I told him, I said, you're the first person I've ever in my life seen do something like this. That's come back and actually acknowledged their wrong in it. I'm honest with you. Not very, very many people. I don't know sometimes if we think we're... I don't know our situation all the time. I know what I used to be. There's a song that I hear once in a while. A young man calls home and he said, Mama, I just wanted to tell you that I'm not the boy I used to be. Because I got saved. Isn't that wonderful? I have seen so many things when young people wrestle with things, and you can carry those things so far, and there comes a place you see yourself, and it's like, no more. No more. This is the end. I'm not going any further with this. I've got to get this thing, because I see who I am. I see where I'm headed, and I don't want to go that way. And when we do that, when we're earnest enough with God, when we get alone, I tell you, it makes a difference. We can get things cleared up, and things will work right. Oh, I looked at this and I thought, Lord, help us to keep an open heart toward you. Never to think more of ourselves highly than we ought to think, but help us, Lord, to wrestle with you alone until you bless us. It's not enough to just wrestle. It's not enough to just have I tried. No, we got to put our heart in this thing. Jacob wouldn't let him go. And he said, as a prince, you have power with God. He said, there's not anybody. And if he told him his name, you know, that would be a big mistake. Hey, I wrestled with Michael. I wrestled with Michael the archangel. I wrestled him all night long, you know, and people would come up with some kind of idol that has some picture of who knows what. But he just told him, he said, don't ask about my name. He said, you've wrestled with God. You stayed in there. You've been persistent. And you've got the victory. Your name is changed. That's the point we've got to come to. Brother Marty mentioned about his dad. He mentioned about not quitting. He mentioned about how we need to keep going on till we do it. I remember one time I had a big pin on a bulldozer that I had to knock. It was an inch and a quarter, inch and a half pin. And I hit that thing over 60 times and it moved. I had a torch on it. I heated it up. I had a 16-pound sledgehammer and I was beating that thing. I had a special mount that I mounted a pin to drive to hit that. And I thought, boy, I'll fix this. I've got it 60-some times, and it moved the thickness of a piece of paper. And my thought was, you know, I'm too old to fall down on the ground and start kicking my legs and throw a tantrum. I'm too old. I can't do that. I can't cry. My wife looked at me, what are you crying about? Get up off that ground. You don't need people to see you doing that. I couldn't do that, so all I could do is keep going. I couldn't call anybody. Nobody, you couldn't get somebody over there to do that. I mean, you'd pay an arm and a leg, but I just kept hitting it. And finally, it moved to thickness of two pieces, and then I finally drove it out. Don't quit. We can't just stop because we see ourselves. We can't just stop because it scares us. Oh, Lord, I was affrighted. I've got all these things to do. I've got all these problems. I've got all these people. I have to backtrack. And I've got all these things I've got. Don't let that scare you off. And by the way, the devil will push you. God will lead you. He'll help you to know each step to take to resolve things. Each step to take. And you might be, the devil's going to go, okay, it's all these people. Take care of them. All in one day. You know, he'll just put something unbearable on. No, the Lord's not that way. He's going to lead you. He'll lead you one by one, step by step. And I'll tell you, when you get your name changed, I'm not the old man I used to be. I'm not the person that I used to be. We have to have that name change. That's critical for us. The name change has got to be just maintaining in our own little circle. This is, I've tried, you know, I've done this, I've tried, and I've done that, I've tried, and still remain the same person. We got to stay there till our name's changed. We got to be different. And when we do, folks, I tell you, there's going to be blessings beyond our imagination, things that can happen to us, it'll be unbelievable. I know God can do it. I tell you, this next chapter where they finally met, Jacob and Esau, yes. every time I look at that and think of those two brothers out in that desert place, and they hug each other, and it said they wept. He lifted up his eyes in the 33rd chapter. Hold on, just the fourth verse. Esau ran to meet him. You mean he jumped off his animal? He jumped off his horse or camel, whatever he was on. He jumped off, and he got down. He saw, that's my brother. That's my brother. And embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Wonderful reunions. Wonderful. I love this. I love to think about how God can take two opposites and bring them together. Can take two people that were at odds with each other. He can take things that was way out of control and way out of synchronization. Just nothing flowed right. Listen, if you've been grinding the gears, it's time God wants to help things to mesh together. In the old transmissions in cars, you had to get down to the speed and the RPM. The engine all had to be at the same ratio, and then you could put things in gear while you're still moving. But the newer models has a synchromesh transmission. And that thing can be put in a lower gear at a high speed and different things, and there won't be a clashing of the gears. You know what we need is to be synchronized, first of all, with God. When you get in sync with Him, when you get in the rhythm that He's moving, and when you get together with Him, things start flowing together. I know this is a little bit funny, but I'm thinking about my dentist that I had when I was a boy, and I've asked my mom, Mama, why did you take me to that man? Why did we kept going to this man? This man was, it was horrible. His breath stunk so bad, and he had the tremors, and he would shake. And I remember thinking, well, here he comes. I just might as well, start shaking, because when he gets a hold of me, and he starts getting hold of you, you have to, kind of get in with, and you end up synchronizing with him, and you're shaking, and he's trying to get the right one back. And oh, it was a terrible experience. But I just remember when he finally, lock on to you, and he'd get something out. I thought one time he'd pull the wrong one. But when you're out of sync with your family, you're out of sync with them. There's clashing and there's grinding and there's noise. Somebody's got to get in tune with God to find out how to mesh and to get together. I know there's husbands that come home and they step in the property. It's like all the children, their hair standing. Oh no, it's Dad. I wonder what kind of mood he's in. They listen to how you close the door. They listen to what's going on. Man, if he bangs the door, slams the door closer, he's in a bad one today. Folks, I tell you, when we see the person again that we used to be, when we can see this is who I am, we can begin to do business with God to get somewhere, to cause things to be in harmony. I love these songs we sing. It talks about how sweet, how blessed it is for the brethren being in unity, how wonderful, how peaceful a habitation, a quiet resting place. Let me tell you, it is because people have met God. That is what brings that is what brings the harmony. I just opened the book here. Listen to the words of this. One in Christ. How can you be one in Christ when we're clashing, when we've got unresolved issues in our life, things that's unresolved, they've never been settled. It's never been worked out. As sweet strains of heavenly music blend in one harmonious sound, so the members of Christ's body in blessed unity are found. Over and over, we could flip through here and find places that God has come down and settled issues with people, alone with God. When storms of life around me beating, when rough the path that I've trod, within my closet door retreating, I want to be alone with God. Do you understand? You see, whenever we meet God, whenever we wrestle with Him, He silences the things that are against us, our mind. David said one place that in my roaring, I kept not silence. I was in my roaring. You know that unrest in your soul. Esau or Jacob was feeling this here in this chapter. Jacob was feeling that roaring, and it kept him up all night. The roaring. There's something unsettled. There's something eating away at me. Something unresolved. But he met God. He saw who He was. The clashing stopped. The roaring ceased. And he knew then, I'm ready to meet my brother. I'm ready to meet him. I believe I can see him now. Whatever he does to me is okay. It's all right. I've done all that I can do now. I'm sending my gifts. I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. And come on, Esau. So he looked up. He saw the 400 men coming. I don't believe he took off in a run. No, he just stopped. Whatever you want to do to me, just go ahead. I haven't been a good person. I know that. And I want you to forgive me. Oh, folks, there's so many things to be said this morning, but I believe if every one of us here in this little chapel today, if we will wrestle with God and we'll seek Him and we'll ask Him to visit us and help us, He will cause things. He said, He spoke about a man's enemies. He said, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. I've thought of that scripture so many times. When a man's ways are pleasing God, He has a way of calming things down. He has a way of putting things back in place. And I trust the Lord will help each and every one of us today, young and old. If there's been things unsettled in our life, we've got little issues, don't ride over them. I don't want us to get driven, but if we can find there's some little thing that just God's been talking to me about and I can get that thing straightened out, let's do that. And when we do, there'll be a peace that comes, a peace like a river that'll just sweep through our hearts and it'll help us each one. Thank you all for your time today. I pray the Lord will bless us and help us to wrestle with God and stay there till we get the blessing from Him. Amen.